Breakfast with Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer.
I am so pleased to meet this man because he seduces me once a week.
he's tired.
Well, well.
He is the New York Times food editor and writes the most glorious, glorious prose that always has me rushing down to the shops and thinking, I'm going to cook it. Sam Sifton, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me and thank you for playing my theme song.
That's all right. Wherever you go, it's playing in the background. We didn't even play it ourselves.
I just wanted to give a little bit a taste of how you write for the listeners, if you don't mind. This is something from just a couple of weeks ago on the weekend of pizza, Sam.
Yes.
I'm not just thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to get you to read it in your fabulous New York accent.
Oh, I love it.
There you go. I've just marked a bit there.
I see it right there.
Okay.
Okay, so I write this newsletter, What mm-hmm. to Cook, and it's meant to be a sort of conversational riff between me and the readers. And I guess on February 18th of 2019, I wrote this. I write a lot of these things. I have no recollection of this at all. I'm not just thinking about pizza, though, all the time, just most of the time. I also want to make Allison Roman's new recipe for a quick lamb ragu real soon. That is easy, weeknight elegance and very grown up. So, as it happens, is Melissa Clark's new recipe for salmon with fennel and lime. It's the sort of dish that a production designer might have put out on the dining room set of a Nora Ephron rom-com in a beautiful house with a kitchen full of cabinets and built-ins, the kind of dinner best served in candlelight. And then, later the week, I want to make David Tanis's new recipe for Moroccan chicken pie, maybe for the weekend, a few days after the pizzas, to show that I'm not just that guy with the pizza.
Very, very nice.
Gorgeous. Thank
you. You are the food editor for the New York Times. The New York Times, one of the most powerful publications in the US. You're living in the most powerful city in many ways in the US. And food is the currency so often in a place like New York. The restaurants are the places where the power lies in lots of ways. Tell us about your job.
Well, I think actually this is that description of New York holds true for Sydney, for Melbourne, for Paris, for London, for Cleveland in the middle of the United States. Anywhere people gather to commemorate or to discuss the past or the future, there will be food. This is why we have first date dinners. This is why we go to a meal after we conclude a big business deal. This is why there is food after a wake. Anytime we want to gather as humans, we do so in the presence of food and drink. And the chance to cover that and to bring that to life for our readers is a great joy for me. I've worked all over the newspaper. I was the national news editor, the culture editor. I've been the restaurant critic. But to run the food coverage and to allow, they call journalism the first draft of history. I think of food journalism as the first draft of social history.
It is a strange time to be living in, though, really, isn't it? When we have the ubiquitous fast food places, we have reality TV shows that we are glued to, but we perhaps are losing our cooking skills. What do you think?
Well, I think we have a real problem in a world where there are $7 lattes and $1 hamburgers, mm-hmm. right? We've lost all sense of what value is when it comes to good, real food. At the same time, in the States at any rate, we're seeing in some demographics a rise in the amount of home mm-hmm. cooking, and some say that's because the economy's in trouble and people have to cook at home. In other areas, a rise in home cooking because people are actually interested in it. And yet, third demographic group in which people are just eating fast food and junk all the time. And it's that last one that is deeply problematic to me. I can help the others.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
In a place like New York, in the same way that we have it here in Sydney, there are always fashions in food, or some would call them fads from time to time.
Yeah, what comes after cauliflower is what I'd like to know.
what is it at the moment? What's going on? What are the chefs pushing the boundaries on at the moment or following each other with?
Well, I don't think one of the problems with fads is no one's pushing the boundaries. They're just following the others, right? So the fluke crudo that we had in New York.
The what, sorry?
Fluke, which is a bottom fish in New York. Here, kingfish crudo. Oh, wow. There it is again on on the menu one more time. I think one of the things that I really want to do is kind of avoid the trend. If I see the same menu item 6 or 7 times, like, we don't need to talk about that. Let's move on, you know?
You know, there's one regret that I have about your column here. Of course, it's winter and autumn and you're talking about the beautiful stews and things, I want to eat a salad. But that notwithstanding, you do have, I love this, the fact that you actually do this yourself. You man the Thanksgiving helpline.
Yes.
Now tell us about that.
Okay, so I have been the sort of one-man butterball hotline for the New York Times for a number of years. It's one of the great joys of my life. Butterball, the huge American manufacturer of what are literally called broad-breasted white turkeys, has 400 people on their helpline. It's just me and my, me and my phone, essentially. And it is such a joy to help people understand that this great American feast, perhaps the great American feast, Thanksgiving, is actually something not to be terrified of, not to be scared of, but something that is manageable and wonderful and easy to prepare if only you listen to me.
Yes, yep. You.
Okay, we have Sam Sifton with us. He's the food editor of the New York Times. Robbie, can you indulge me? Can I just ask a couple of things about Thanksgiving?
Well, here we go. Yes.
Yep. I don't understand, because we don't do it here. How do you cook stovetop stuffing?
Oh, stovetop stuffing is this confection of the food industry, right? It's essentially a box of dried breadcrumbs with some deconstituted chicken broth in it, and you just dump some water in and cook it on the, and it fluffs up, and it's as if you were making instant oats out of breadcrumbs and salt.
All right, so I don't need to bother with this.
No, you do not.
Oh, good.
But making a dressing, making a good bread stuffing to go along with your turkey or capon or goose is, I think, a marvelous thing to do. Okay. Just don't put it in the bird.
And one more thing. How do marshmallows come to be involved in the whole proceedings? Because where's that from?
It is distressing, the view of America from afar. This is one of the benefits of coming to Australia, to understand how we are seen abroad. Marshmallows as a topping for sweet potatoes in America goes back again to the 1950s, when it was an easy way to put sugar on top and get a browned affect without really having it be dodgy as you do it. It doesn't always work if you're tossing raw sugar on top, but with the marshmallows, it always does. It looks beautiful, like a commercial, and that is the view of America from abroad.
Can I just raise a question?
I'm so sorry. I'm depressed.
On the back of
I?
That, America does have a real issue with sugar, doesn't it? I mean, it seems that you put sugar onto everything.
If you mean addiction, yes, we are absolutely addicted to sugar. It's a big problem.
We're viewing.
Can we stop talking about New York and ask Sam to talk about us?
Well, I was about to say, we're viewing New York right now. Let's have a little look through a New Yorker's eyes at Sydney.
Oh, yeah. So if turnabout is fair play, I should be just talking about Avo toast and flat whites constantly. Is that how it should go? I'm very excited to be here in Sydney. I arrived last night and almost immediately went to Momofuku Siobo to taste Paul Carmichael's food and had a snack at the bar. And I really, truly think that is one of the top restaurants in the world right now.
Do
I
you?
Really do. Huh. This notion that this Bajan cuisine, this Caribbean cuisine, could be brought to life in this amazing way off a hallway in a casino in Sydney on Darling Harbour is just so great.
Have you had a chance to taste anything else, or is that it?
No, that was 12 hours ago. Now I'm with you, and then I'm off to eat.
Yeah. You're not a fat guy at all. You're nice and trim. How do you do it?
I was thinking that, and I thought I won't actually ask.
How do you keep trim?
Typing and fear.
Okay, here's another question for you. Here in Sydney, in Australia in general, the food critics have been. They have been hampered by the laws that we have around defamation.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And so we don't have the kind of food critics that we used to have in the past. They have to do sort of positive food reviews, because if they go too heavy and it affects the business of a place, which is what you know, good
that's
solid.
That's the job.
That's what the job is. They can get sued. So I guess, from your point of view, what do you make of that?
I think it's crazy. Let us imagine a business where we're just going to make fried chicken. My fried chicken is terrible. I charge a lot of money for it. I have a great marketing plan, so lots of people come. They eat the fried chicken, which is terrible, and I sleep somehow at night. Now, another guy comes in and is a restaurant critic and says, here is a guy who's charging an enormous amount of money for fried chicken that isn't good. In fact, it's terrible. In fact, it may be the worst fried chicken in the world, and I can't put that in the newspaper?
Yeah.
That, to me, is crazy.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to imagine you in your kitchen, and you're going to be cooking to this. All right.
What are you wearing, Sam?
Okay, this is actually a theme song of my kitchen life. I have no idea how you found this, but I am wearing shorts, and I call them flip-flops. You have some thongs, which is... means something different in America. I think that I'm probably making I'm making shrimp.
We call them prawns.
Okay. Yeah. Making some prawns in advance of some chuck.
Yep.
There are going to be some big spices in there. Island flavors. Light. Cold beer. Sand between my toes above my thong. Thongs. Oops.
And above your thong too.
Yeah.
It's a party after all, isn't it?
That's great to hear.
We hope you have a brilliant time here, and I hope you eat your way through the place and love every bite.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome, Sam. Sam Sifton there, food editor of the New York Times. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Sam.
Breakfast with Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer.